The bike wheels hum a steady rhythm on the smooth asphalt, and I'm already regretting the extra coffee I had with breakfast. The path curves gently between the reeds and the water of Spet Pond, and the morning is still cool enough that the surface is almost glassy. A heron stands motionless at the edge, completely unbothered by me and my rented bicycle, and I slow down just to watch it for a moment. This is what I came to Trebon for. Not the festival crowds I dodged yesterday, but this flat, quiet, pond-lace landscape that feels like it hasn't changed in 400 years. I picked up the bike this morning from a small rental place near Mosrick Square. They had a mix of city bikes and a couple of electric ones, and the woman behind the counter was patient with my rusty check. It cost around 300 corny for the day, which works out to maybe $13, and that felt entirely reasonable for having the whole pond country at my disposal. The Trebonsko biosphere is famously flat, which is one of the reasons it's such a joy to cycle, and the network of paths around the fish ponds is well-marked and mostly car-free once you get out of town. My plan for the day was simple. Follow the trail around Spet Pond first, then head south towards Rosenberg Pond, the biggest of them all, and find a spot for lunch along the way. The air has that particular summer smell here, a mix of pine forest and damp earth and something faintly sweet from the water, and every time I pass a shaded stretch of trees, the temperature drops noticeably. The trail is busy with other cyclists, families with kids and trailers, and a few joggers, but it never feels crowded, just alive with the same peak season energy that filled Trebonnes Square yesterday for the Hunters Festival. The Schwarzenberg tomb appears through the trees about halfway around Spet Pond, a strange, almost fairy tale structure that looks like it belongs in a different century entirely. It's a pseudo-Gothic, octagonal building set in a large English park, and it was built for the Schwarzenberg family, who took over the Trebon domain after the Rosenbergs. I lean my bike against a fence and walk a bit closer, glad I stopped. The building is ornate and a little melancholic, as tombs often are, but the setting is beautiful, with the pond glinting through the trees behind it. A small sign tells me the tomb is open to visitors, but I decide to save that for another day. I want to keep moving while the morning is still cool. I've been reading a bit about the history here, and it's remarkable how connected this landscape is to the people who shaped it. Jakob Kersen, the Rosenberg's fish pond engineer in the 16th century, basically created this entire system of ponds and canals, including the Great Rosenberg Pond, and it's still in use today, over 400 years later. The Zlatostoka, the Golden Canal, runs about 45 kilometers and still feeds the ponds and the town's old mill. It's an engineering legacy that's earned Trebon a place on the UNESCO Biosphere list, and it's the very water I'm cycling alongside now. The path brings me eventually to the edge of Rosenberg Pond, and even though I knew it was large, it's the biggest fish pond in the world, apparently, I wasn't prepared for how much it looks like an inland sea. The water stretches to the horizon, with only a thin line of reeds and a few trees marking the far shore, and the wind has picked up enough to put small white caps on the surface. I pull off at a bench and sit for a while, eating the apple one bought in town, watching a couple of sailboats tacking across the water. It's a peaceful moment, the kind that makes you understand why this region has drawn artists and writers, and more recently, tourists like me. For lunch, I cycle back towards town and stop at Restaurant Bratislavsky Dom, a bright, airy place just off the main square that I'd noticed on my first walk through Trebon. The menu is heavy on local specialties, and I order the Kandat na Bylinkak, pike perch with herbs and green beans, which I was told is a good local choice. The fish arrives perfectly cooked, flaking apart under my fork, and the herb butter with it is just right. With a small beer, the local regent, since I'm in the hometown of the brewery, the bill comes to about 450 korony, not much more than $20, and I leave feeling pleasantly full and a little sleepy. Digesting lunch, I decide to take the shortest route back to the hotel for a proper afternoon rest. The sun is high now, and the cycle path is busier, full of families and groups of friends out for their Saturday rides. I pass a stall selling cold drinks and ice cream, and I resist the impulse to stop. The hotel, a neat place called Blue Rose, is only a short distance from the square, and I'm grateful for its quiet courtyard as I lean the bike up against the wall and head inside for a shower and a lie down. After a couple of hours, I'm revived enough to do something I've been curious about since I started reading about Trebonnes spa history. The town is famous for its peat baths. There's a whole spa quarter along the shore of Svet Pond, and the treatments here date back to the 19th century. Two main spas operate in Trebonnes, Lazn Aurora and Bertini Lazn, both offering the dark, mineral-rich mud baths that supposedly do wonders for joint pain and general well-being. I had looked into booking a treatment for tomorrow, but I wanted to see the places first, so I decide to walk over this afternoon and ask in person. The walk to the spa quarter takes me along the edge of Svet Pond, past the Chateau Park and the English Garden, and the whole area has a different feel to it, more manicured, more resort-like, with wide paths and benches, and an orderly row of spa hotels and pavilions. Lazn Aurora is the larger of the two, a grand building with a distinctly spa hotel aesthetic, and Bertini Lazn is just next door, a little more modest, but equally tidy. I step inside the reception of Aurora and ask about booking a peat bath for tomorrow. The woman at the desk is friendly and patient with my attempts at check, and she shows me a price list. A standard peat bath costs around 500 korone for an hour, which is about $22, and includes the bath itself and access to their relaxation area. I book a morning slot and leave feeling satisfied that I've made a small plan. With the appointment set, I wander back through the spa park towards the town center, and I notice a sign for the Buddhist art gallery that I recall seeing in the events listing. It's tucked into a side street, and a poster outside advertises Pevnost BOJ and Art, a family adventure game based loosely on Fort Boyard, with puzzles and challenges set up in the gallery spaces. It sounded like a fun idea if I had a family with me, but as a solo visitor, it feels a bit much, so I give it a miss and continue on to Masaryk Square. The square is busy with the tail end of Saturday's market. A few stalls selling honey, pottery, and wooden toys are closing up, and the cafes are full of people enjoying the early evening. I duck into Cafe Kokasny for a coffee, and I take a seat by the window to watch the square do its evening thing. The cafe is small and warm, and the espresso is good, costing about 65 korone. Not bad for a prime spot in the center. I use the quiet moment to look at train times for tomorrow, though I'm in no hurry to leave Trebonnes just yet. I've started to think about the next stage of the trip, heading southeast towards Moravia for the wine harvest, but Trebonnes has a way of making you want to stay put. There are still things I haven't done. The full tour of the chateau, a proper look inside the Schwarzenberg tomb, a long walk around the Servine Blado peat bogs. And then there's the bicycle. I'm likely to hire one again and explore the quiet roads around the smaller ponds like Hedgeman, where the bird life is apparently superb. For now, though, the coffee tastes good. The square is mellowing into a warm August evening, and I'm happy to just sit and soak it all in. As the sun drops lower, I leave the cafe and walk back to the hotel by a roundabout route, passing the old town hall with its tall tower and the Church of St. Giles and the Augustinian Monastery, both looming into the fading light. A few doors along, I hear music spilling from the courtyard of a guest house, and there's a happy, relaxed buzz in the air. I stop for a moment outside the Regent Brewery, whose sign I've been passing all day, and I make a mental note to try one of their beers properly before I leave. Back at the hotel, the evening is warm enough to sit in the courtyard with a glass of water and my notes. I'm still not entirely sure what I'll do tomorrow, but I know I'll be back at Aurora by 10 for my peat bath, and that feels like a good anchor for a day that might otherwise slip away into aimless wandering. Trebonnes has a way of slowing you down, and I'm learning to let it. The pond paths, the spa, the simple pleasure of a beer at the brewery, it all feels a long way from Prague's tram breaks and summer crowds, and I'm grateful for the change of pace. Before I turn in, I make a quick list for the morning. Swim in Svet Pond early before it gets busy, then head to Aurora for the bath, then perhaps cycle out towards the peat bogs if the weather holds. I'm also keeping an eye on the weather forecast. It's been warm and overcast, which is perfect for cycling, but there's a chance of rain later in the week, and I'd rather not be caught out on the flat stretches. I'll decide in the morning, with the coffee, and let the day unfold as it does. For now, the light outside is turning golden. The last of the birds are settling in the trees, and Trebon feels like a good place to be.